Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey, it is an absolute delight to be here, just worshiping together. Don't you just love the presence of God? I get undone every time I get into the presence of God, and part of me is like, okay, I'm undone. I don't know what to do because God is in our midst. And when you know that God is in your midst, you know, the Bible says to walk humbly before Him, walk carefully before Him. And, you know, I love the presence of God. I love honoring the presence of God because who here doesn't want to just have a service? I just don't want to have a service in normal church. I want to encounter Jesus. We want to encounter the reality of Jesus. We want to encounter His presence. We want to get filled up again. You know, we want to be full of His Spirit. So, yes, I'm really excited to bring the Word of God here. And like I said, it feels like God is already here. It feels like God's already moving and already speaking and doing stuff. So I was praying. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to speak on? And I'm like, yeah, I want to speak on transition. And I was going to call it the land between, because God can do lots with the in that land between. And when I think about the children of Israel and them going from the Egypt into the promised land, but they had 40 years in the wilderness. But in the wilderness, God was doing so much in them. There was supernatural, you know, manna and clothes and, you know, quail and everything. It was amazing. So that whole land between, God does so much in transitional times in our lives. He does so much. But anyway, two nights ago, the Lord said, I don't want you to speak on that. I'm like, what? And I really felt so strongly to speak on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, the name of our church is Pneuma. Spirit, breath, spirit, and wind. That's the name of Pneuma Church. It means breath, spirit, and wind. And as I was praying, I'm like, okay, God, you want me to speak about the Holy Spirit? Who here loves the Holy Spirit? Love the Holy Spirit. I absolutely love and adore the Holy Spirit. I remember when I got saved, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Absolutely everything changed. And I fell in love with the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to learn about the Holy Spirit and discover what the scriptures said about the Holy Spirit and read books on the Holy Spirit. And I read that book by Benny Hinn. Who remembers it? Good Morning, Holy Spirit. One of my favorite books. It was an amazing book. Really changed my life. But I really feel that God wants to encourage us this morning around the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. You know, we talk about the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son, God the Spirit, and we love talking about Jesus. And of course, we worship Jesus. We talk about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And we love talking about God the Father. But how many know when Jesus left, He said, hey, it's good that I might go. It's actually good that I go. Because then He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. So I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. Where's my Bible? It's always good to grab your Bible. Why don't you turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know, we are living in a time in the world where, especially in the church, where we've got so much resource. We can get onto YouTube, we can get onto podcasts, we can listen to our favorite preachers and speakers, and there seems to be an abundance of really good resource out there and great preachers and speakers, and almost so that you don't even need to get into the Word yourself. You don't even need to rely on the Holy Spirit yourself, because there's so much resource out there. We can just get it from here, there. We can go to this conference. We can go to that church. We can go to that conference. We can go to that seminar. We can read that book. But how many know we need to get back to leaning in for ourselves? What is God saying to us now? What is God saying to me right now? And yes, God can speak through people and through conferences and through sermons and through scriptures. But What is God saying to us now? What is the Kairos word for us now in this particular season? God wants you and me to personally come to Him and lean into Him and develop our own relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Our own relationship with the Holy Spirit. An understanding of His voice, an understanding of His movements, an understanding, you know, how does the Holy Spirit work?
Yeah.
What is the Holy Spirit saying? How does He speak? You know, He speaks in many different ways, through impressions and dreams and visions and thoughts and open visions, in coincidences. Yes, we need the Word of God, but we also need the Spirit. That it's the Word and the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Let's look at this scripture. Actually, let's look at it in John chapter 14 and verse 16. This is the first time that Jesus starts speaking to the Holy Spirit. He's coming to the end of His ministry. And the disciples are leaning in and He's leaning into them. And this whole discourse, right from chapter 14 of John, right through to chapter 17, He's getting really intentional and intimate with His disciples. And He says this in chapter 14, in verse 15. It says, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." Another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. And then go down to verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." I love this. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word that brings life. Lord, that brings clarity, that brings freedom, that brings direction, that renews our mind. And Father, we thank You for Your Spirit that is speaking, that is working right now, Lord. We lean into Your voice. Lord, we lean into what You want to say to us as a church, to us individually. Lord, right now we ask, Lord, that You will do what You want to do with Your Word. Lord, let it accomplish that which You please, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God is doing a new thing.
Yeah.
So I think we mentioned that in the pre-service prayer this morning. God is doing a new thing. So often when you've walked with the Lord a long time, you can want to go back to the good old days. Do you remember the good old days? Remember what God did in this season or in that church or in that conference or in that revival? You know, but God is doing a new thing, and He wants us to keep in step with the Spirit of God. Not to pine or want what was, but to embrace and look for the now and the new. Because God is always speaking. Yes, He never changes, but His ways change as well. And what He speaks changes as well. So, like I said, a lot of people want to go back to what God used to do. What He said, what He's done last year. But God is doing a new thing. What is the now word, the Kairos word now? Yes, it's important to have those anchor points. We should all have those anchor points in our lives of what God has done, what God has said, and what has God revealed to us. They're important. The past is valuable. It should be remembered. But sometimes we can get stuck back there, what He used to do, what He used to say, but not enter into what He is saying and doing right now. This is about living in step with the Holy Spirit. He is the great helper. And this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, "There's so much I want to tell you right now." But it's the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, it was only select prophets could hear from God as the Spirit of God came upon them. The prophet spoke of a day when everyone could prophesy and everyone could hear from God. And we're living in that right now. Where it's not just the speaker or the preacher or the pastor or the leader or the prophet. We can all hear from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Every single man, woman, and child can hear from God. today. This is the new day that Isaiah was prophesying about, that Jeremiah prophesied about, that Ezekiel and Joel, they spoke of this new day, this new season, where God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, not just select, but on all flesh. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 says, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not according to the old covenant I made with their fathers, but I'll make a new covenant." Verse 33, "This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." What is Jeremiah prophesying about there? He's prophesying about the Holy Spirit. He's saying there's going to be a day where the Holy Spirit is not out there. He's not in a building. He's not only on certain people, but he's going to be in and upon every single person.
Yeah.
"No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord." You know, we hear this saying that there's no junior Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a junior Holy Spirit that gets poured out for kids. No, it's the same Spirit. That's amazing. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in us. I want us to really meditate on that this morning and grab a hold of that and lay a hold of this reality. You know, renew our minds with this understanding of the Spirit of God. I love the Spirit of God. And like I said, in all the Old Testament, Ezekiel talked about it. "I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Isaiah said, "This is my covenant. My words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants." He's talking about the Holy Spirit again in Joel 2 verse 28. We all know that scripture, and it'll come to pass that afterward I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. It means all, not just pastors, preachers, leaders, Western people, Eastern people. It's all flesh. Women. He pours out his Spirit on women as well. I mean, in some parts of the body of Christ, that's still a revelation. It's like, no, women can't preach, women can't teach, no. It's like, no, God pours his Spirit upon everybody.
Yeah.
On everybody. Wow. So in this scripture here in John chapter 14, Jesus starts speaking about this Holy Spirit, this great helper. And I love in the Greek, I looked this up, the Greek word here is parakletos, which means defense attorney. It means one called to stand next to you as a helper, as a counselor, as a comforter, as an advocate, as an encourager, as an intercessor, as a helper. Isn't that awesome? Wow. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our encourager. And then further on in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says to his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I mean, think about this. The disciples, they're living with Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. They have had such an amazing experience of 3.5 years of hanging out with Jesus.
Yeah.
This prophet, this man of God, the Son of God. I mean, they hadn't quite clicked for some of them. Peter had it. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then here Jesus saying, "Hey, it's good for you that I'm going." I'm like, hang on, no, it's not good. Jesus, don't leave. I can imagine them saying, no, Jesus, how can you say it's good for us that you leave? But he's saying, hey, it's advantageous. It's good that I'm going away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. They hadn't yet understood this, but here we have this hindsight where, hang on, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. It's actually good. He's saying, there's so much I want to tell you. There's so much I want to reveal to you. In verse 12, chapter 16, verse 12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit brings the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to us. He does it in such a way that Jesus couldn't do it. That's why Jesus said, hey, I need to give you the Holy Spirit. I need you to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I love it. It says here, it's beneficial to you that I go. My departure will be a gift that will serve you well. He's saying, because if I don't leave, this great helper, the great helper, will not come to your aid. When I leave, I will send him to you. Wow, that's amazing. You know, if we could grasp this truth, it's not a concept, it's truth, that you and I have a helper. We have a helper. We have not a helper, but the helper.
Yeah.
The helper.
Yeah.
He is there to help us. Man, I don't know about you, but that gives me great confidence. That gives me great boldness. That gives me such an assurance of faith. No matter what I'm going through in any aspect of my life, I have the helper with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The helper. He's not just someone who helps you, offers you advice, but he is the helper. He teaches you all of life. He is God. He is a part of the Trinity. Man. Jesus was saying to them, get ready, guys. Get ready, because the Spirit is going to be poured out. The Spirit is about to be poured out. Yes, he gave them the Holy Spirit when he breathed on them in John chapter 20. But then obviously in Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Spirit was poured out. Oh. And I love this word baptism. It means completely immersed. That's the invitation that you and I have, to be completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? Well, that looks like someone who's been immersed in love, in freedom, in joy, in power. It means someone who is totally free. I've got a brother-in-law, Ali's brother, who's not saved. And we're always witnessing to him. We're always telling him about Jesus and telling him what we're doing. But he just hasn't made that step of faith yet. But one of the things that he always says, he goes, Steve, you and Ali, you just seem to be so free. You always seem to be so free. And I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the one who has set me free and helps me to live in absolute freedom. You know, Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He needed the great helper to launch his ministry. Jesus' secret was the Holy Spirit. His first priority after the resurrection was the Holy Spirit, releasing the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been walking with Jesus for, I think, 36 years now, and there's always more. There's always more that God wants to show me. There's always more that God wants to show you. I'm sure there's people here that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and there's always more. It's such an adventure. We should never grow stale with walking with Jesus and walking with the Holy Spirit. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That means, that word be filled means keep on being filled with the Spirit. So keep on being filled. I remember the first time I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was I'd been saved for 3 months, and I was in this church. It was an AOG church in Bunbury in south of Perth. My brother-in-law is the pastor, and I'd given my life to Jesus, but I was still living with fear. I still had doubts about my salvation. I still hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember I was in a prayer meeting. Someone prayed for me and said, "Hey, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you." And as they did that, I just felt this liquid gold just come from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And I felt this warm sensation in my body and my soul and my spirit. And I got the joy of the Lord. I was baptized in the joy of the Lord. It was absolutely amazing. That was the first baptism I got. And I received the Holy Spirit. I received joy. And all the fear was gone. All the, you know, the doubt of salvation, the doubt of my sin being washed away was totally gone in that moment. And I remember the pastors and the team was talking to me about the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I'm like, okay, I want to speak in tongues. And they'd pray for me and I couldn't speak in tongues. And I'm like, I really want to speak in tongues. I want to see that evidence that I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I had evidence of being full of joy and full of freedom, but I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to speak in tongues, and it was about 2 weeks after I was working in a car yard. I was a mechanic back then. I was working on a car, and I was just working on the car. And as I was praying, suddenly I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started to speak in tongues. It just came out all at once, right? And I'm like, whoa, this must be it. It was amazing. The gift of speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that was my second baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then another time, I'm just telling you some testimonies of being filled and keeping being filled, because I believe that God wants to fill you again and again and again with the Holy Spirit. I was leading worship at this church called Perth Christian Life Centre in Perth. And I was leading worship, and during the worship, there was a beautiful sense of the presence of God. And one of the singers started singing out in the Spirit about the fire of God. And I remember feeling this fire all over me. And I was leading, and I had to put my guitar down, and I went on the floor, and I was just shaking on the floor, I reckon for about 15, 20 minutes. And the pastor, David Story, he got up and he goes, okay, and he starts preaching. I was on the floor still shaking in the Holy Spirit. But that was another baptism of fire. It was like a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what God did in me right then, but the day after, or the days after, or the weeks after, I could feel I was different. There was something that was different in me. I changed. Another baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember just after I'd planted my first church, and I was going through some issues with my family, with my dad, and understanding him, and also understanding the Father's heart for me. And it was like I had this father wound in my life. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he was praying for me. And then suddenly I felt this another baptism of love. And I'm like, I just can't. This overwhelming sense of the love of God, that I was absolutely, completely, and 100% loved by the Father. Yeah. And again, radical change, transformation. That was another baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm here to say that God wants to baptize you over and over and over and over again. With his love, with his freedom, with his joy, with his Spirit. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you want that? Do you desire that?
Yeah.
Come on. We're Pentecostals here. This is who we are as a church. Yeah. We're pneuma.
Yeah.
Spirit, breath, wind. That is who, that's our distinctive as Pentecostals, being completely filled again and again with the Holy Spirit, because that's what the world need to see. They need to see people who are on fire, full of the love of God, full of the joy of the Holy Spirit, full of freedom. And that's how we're going to save, and we're going to see people saved and set free. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. The Holy Spirit, he connects believers to the Father, to the Son. Wow. So Jesus said to his disciples, you need the great helper. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, people are fascinated by people who are full of the Spirit. It's to see someone who's having an encounter with God, it's fascinating. It's like, what is going on? It's supernatural. It's like you can't explain it. That's why, you know, people who don't believe, they have all of these opinions and ideas, and that's just an emotional response and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, the fruit shows. When someone gets up out of having an encounter with Jesus and they've been full of the Holy Spirit, or they've been shaking, or whatever it is, full of laughter, they get up, the fruit shows. It's like, wow, weeks, months later, that person is different. Something supernatural, something transformational has happened. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have reactions. People will react. People either say, why are you so free, so happy? These are times of refreshing. You know, we can't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. You know, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit means that he can feel and he has emotions. To grieve the Holy Spirit is not to listen to him, not to be aware of him, but to ignore him. Let's not quench the Holy Spirit. If God's doing something, let's allow him to do it. And we see that in our church services, the way that, hey, worship is going off, let's just keep going. God is doing something, let's just keep going. Let's not put the Holy Spirit in the box and quench him. The Lord of the church is the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to keep in step with you and follow you. And keep being filled with you. The Holy Spirit is the word, the law, and the truth now in our heart. You know, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Like I said, the great helper teaches us the mysteries of the kingdom and helps us to understand and apply revelation. The Holy Spirit is the author of this book. So ask him, you're reading something in the scripture, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Holy Spirit, what are you trying? Ask him. And he'll bring back to remembrance. He'll, that's right. And he'll bring those mysteries to life in Scripture. I love that. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never occurred to the human heart all the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. God has shown us these profound and startling realities through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep mysteries of God. Who can see into a man's heart and know his thoughts? Only the Spirit that dwells within the man. In the same way, the thoughts of God are known only by his Spirit. It's only by the Spirit of God. You know, we're praying, Lord, Lord, we want power. Lord, we want might. Lord, we want wisdom. Lord, we want this. Lord, we want that. Why don't we just say, Lord, we want the Holy Spirit. Give us the Holy Spirit. All I need is the Holy Spirit. All we need in our life is the Holy Spirit. You know, you might be praying and asking, God, I need wisdom. Just ask for the Holy Spirit. He's the very Spirit of wisdom. This is what the great helper does. He brings those things that are hidden and makes them real and alive. He brings the Bible alive. He teaches us spiritual things, practical things. He is the author of wisdom. He is wisdom. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's creative. He's innovative. He motivates us. The Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us. You know, throughout all of my Christian life and Christian walk, I've endeavored to be led by the Holy Spirit, not led by my hurt or led by my emotions or led by man's ideas or man's opinions or what my agenda will be or what my preference will be. No, it's like, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Do you want me to move churches? Okay. Is it the Holy Spirit leading me? Great. Or am I reacting? Am I just annoyed? Or am I just my preference? No, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord called us to finish the church that we were pastoring, for 10 years we pastored this church, we felt this shift. Ali was like, I feel the Lord saying, it's time to move on. I'm like, no, he hasn't spoken to me. And she goes, but can't you feel it? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm feeling stuff. But I said, I wanted to hear from the Holy Spirit. I want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the Lord gave me a dream, a clear as clarity dream. So clear. I knew it was God because it was confirmed. And it was like, yes, I want to follow the Holy Spirit. Any major decision that you have in life, you can't go wrong if you follow the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And because when you listen to the Holy Spirit, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. The fruit. There's fruit there. There's fruit of love, of joy, of peace. It's like, yeah, there's the peace. There's the fruit. There's the confirmation there. That's the Holy Spirit. Galatians. Let's have a look at this scripture in closing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And then right down to verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Keep in step with the Spirit. Not your heart or your emotions or your agenda. And I'm learning this, and we should always be learning this and to be able to discern, okay, what's our heart? What's our emotions? You know, sometimes the heart, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. You know, sometimes our heart can deceive us. Oh, we just really feel to do this. We really feel to do that. We feel to change this or change that. It's like, no. What is the Spirit saying? Let's keep in step with the Spirit of God. God, if you're speaking to me, confirm it. I want you to confirm. I want to be led by your Spirit in every decision that I make in life, in ministry, in moving, in career, in job, in marriage, in whatever decision. I want to be led by the Spirit, not by my selfish desires.
Yeah.
When you make decisions, when you need discernment, sit with the Holy Spirit. Listen to his still, small voice.
Yeah.
That still, small voice is God. It's God. Let's listen to that still, small voice. And he speaks in dreams, impressions, in pictures, coincidences, numbers, all of that exciting stuff. God speaks to Ali and I, really interesting, by the number 13. Whenever we see the number 13, we know God's got our attention. Our son was born on the 13th. Ali's dad was born on the 13th. Every time, a lot of times when we fly, leaving gate 13, we go to a restaurant, we get number 13. It's like God's little, you know, just coincidences. He's like, you see, his smile is on it. It's just those confirmations. I love when God does stuff like that. It's so good. Develop your relationship. This is developing your own relationship with the Holy Spirit. How does God speak to you? How does he say to you? Maybe, you know, for me, he speaks to me a lot in dreams. With Ali, he speaks to her a lot with impressions. She gets impressions. So, you know, it's learning that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. How can we stay continuously filled with the Spirit? John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, get with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need more. I need more. Drink from Jesus. Thirst for this living water. It's a flowing river. It's not just a glass full, but it's a flowing river.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is not a flickering candle. He's a raging fire. So we need to thirst for the living water. We need to believe Jesus.
Yeah.
Believe in him. You want to be baptized, you need to come and ask Jesus, baptize me again, Jesus. We need to come to him. He is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and fire. We need to pray in tongues, praying in the Spirit. There's no shame in asking for help. Ask the helper. We need to drink deeply. Don't just sip. I'm just going to take a little bit of a sip. Just go wild. Just like, God, I just want to dunk right in. I don't care what I look like. I'm just going to drink deeply. This is, you know, living water is available. You need to access it. Don't drink from other wells. And also, you can die from thirst with a bottle of water in your hand. You actually have to drink it. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So create those environments in your own personal life. It's like, God, I just want to drink from you. That's why I love worship. Just put worship on. Just sit there and soak. And Lord, I'm going to drink. What opens you up to his presence, to his Spirit? What's the environment that helps you to be filled again and again and again? How do you drink spiritually? How do you drink spiritually? Yes, these moments at church are so important and powerful, and we're going to open up the altar pretty soon. We're going to put some music on and we're just going to drink and get refilled again. Those things are really important, but also developing those intimate times in your own lives are really important. Worship. In your secret place, walking, speaking in tongues, meditating on scripture, praying with someone. He is the helper, and he wants to empower a generation that can display purity and power. Let's not be satisfied with all of our human achievements and accomplishments. Yes. You know, here's my last thing. The Holy Spirit is attracted to your weakness. How many here is glad about that? I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is attracted to my weakness, because I'm weak in a lot of areas. But I'm so glad that when I'm weak, he is strong. And he wants to come and fill me. You know, I used to be so nervous about speaking, about public speaking, about playing the guitar in front of people. But since I've been baptized and filled with the Spirit, that weakness has become a strength. It's like, Holy Spirit, he's attracted to our weakness. Why don't we just close our Bibles right now? And why don't we stand? We're going to put some music on. And we're just going to take a little bit of time now. We've got a couple of minutes, and I want you to assume the posture, whatever posture that would look like for you. You could be kneeling, you can be sitting, you can be opening up your hands right now. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to breathe deeply, just a couple of really deep breaths, just as an outward sign of a spiritual reality. We're breathing in the breath of heaven, the pneuma of the Holy Spirit, the pneuma of God, the breath of God. Oh Lord, we come to you right now and we drink deeply of you right now, Lord. You know every single need that we have, Lord. You are the great helper, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you take all of these words, and will you make it your words, Lord, and bring life and healing and freedom right now? I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do what only you can do in our hearts right now, Lord. Baptize us afresh, Lord. Lord, we don't want yesterday's manna. We don't want last week's baptism, Lord. We don't want last year's move. Lord, we want the fresh, the new today that you have for us, Lord. Fresh manna, which is your Spirit. Pour it out afresh, Lord. Pour it out afresh in our hearts again, Lord. Baptize us again, Lord. I pray for each and every person right now, Lord, that we might learn to drink again, that we might learn to be baptized afresh with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We love your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us, Lord, wake up to the reality that you are our helper, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. That, Lord, those rivers of living water will flow out of us. Lord, to a hurting world, to a dry and thirsty land. Lord, that we might be your hands and be your feet, Lord, everywhere we go. Lord, I pray right now. Lord, would you fill us, Lord, right now? Would you fill your people right now, Lord? Lord, we want another touch, another drink. Nothing without you, Lord. We can't do this without you, Lord. Fall afresh on us, Lord. You are everything we need, Lord. We love you, Holy Spirit. We adore you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We honor your presence, Lord. We honor you. Holy Spirit, let that be the distinctive of my life, Lord. Your Spirit in me and upon me, Lord, that I might be a shining light, that I might display your glory, Lord, in and through my life, Lord, to my family, to my neighbors, Lord, to the people around me. Holy Spirit, would you anoint us afresh, Lord? We don't want to leave the same, Lord, we believe. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us again. Baptize us again, Lord. Just like you promised, Lord. Fill us again, Lord. We're hungry and we're waiting for you, Lord. Lord, we're waiting for you, Lord. We know that you want to do so much more in us and through us, Lord. You want to do so much more in this church, Lord, in this city, in this state, Lord, in this nation, Lord. But it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit. Fall in love with you, Holy Spirit, again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.